How many glad to be in church on a Sunday night? Amen. How many going to preach with me tonight? Come on, let's have a little church on a Sunday night. How about it? Amen. Amen. And I hope we're trying to tweak this PA system new. Does it sound okay out there? Good. We want it to be a blessing, not a hindrance to your worship. Amen. Amen. It's so important for us to have the preached word of God to go forth. And there are certain things, and I was in the gym today and talking to a man, and he goes to one of these more emergent churches, and he was bragging to me, thinking that I would be impressed. He found out I was a pastor. He was bragging to me about how their church, you can just keep dressing however you want to dress. There's no need for change. Matter of fact, he said, our preacher just gets up there in his casual clothes, and everything's just real casual. I looked at him. I said, you know what casual church produces? He said, what's that? I said, casualties. Spiritual casualty. So this world doesn't need a casual church to fight the demons that are going to have to fight. The drug addict doesn't need a casual church. The alcoholic doesn't need a casual church. Come on. The depressed doesn't need a casual church. We need a church that's on fire with revival, with anointing, with preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are several things that need to be preached in the church and for it to be a church. And what I'm going to preach tonight is one of those things that needs to be preached more often. But I want to preach this tonight in my heart all week for this service. God knows who needs to hear it. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we could turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse number 5. We're going to read down the verse number 9. And then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. Thank you to our musicians and singers for helping us. They do a good job. Doing a good job. Appreciate that. Brother Vest, thank you for joining the team. Good job. Sounds good. And just working together for the kingdom of God. Everything you do, I don't care if you're up here or behind the scenes, it's important to the kingdom of God. Every Sunday school teacher, you do not know your value, your eternal value. Just this week, I went back to the church that I grew up in to help with the funeral there of the pastor that just passed away. And got to see some of my old Sunday school teachers. Several were there. Got to walk back into those old classrooms. The weird thing about it is they all shrunk. The building's a lot smaller than I remember. Those classrooms are a lot smaller than I remember. But what I do remember is those lessons that were taught. I still remember. My. So everything you do, no matter what it is, if it's just working clean around the church, the impact for eternity is unmeasurable. It's unmeasurable. Luke chapter 13, verse number 5. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He didn't say, except you repeat a prayer. He didn't say, except you accept the Lord as your Savior. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now, anybody know what a parable is? It's an example to help people better understand. He's talking to farmers, so he's wanting them to better understand what he's trying to tell them. So he uses a story they can relate to. He said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. You know God's going to come along and look for fruit on you. Huh? I said, God's going to come along and look for fruit on you. Are you bearing fruit? Fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of righteousness? Are you a soul winner? Are you living holy? Are you living separated? Are you bearing fruit? And there's none on this one tree. Verse 7, he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came. He said, 3 years. I've given this tree 3 years. And I've come every year to seek fruit on this fig tree. And I find none. So what did the owner of the field say? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why waste their chair on them? I'll bring somebody else to sit in that chair. I'll bring somebody else to fill that space in the church. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, here's what the dresser said. The pastor is the dresser of the field. The Lord of the field is God. The pastor said, answered, Lord, let it alone this year also. Give me one more year till I shall dig about it and dung it, fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. God said, I'm done. But the pastor said, Lord, just give me one more year. I'm going to try harder. I'll preach harder. I'll push harder. I'll weed around their life. I'll try to preach stronger. But if they don't bear fruit after this year, then cut it down. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6 down to verse number 8. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that it is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh. How many know you got to overcome to live for God? I said, how many know you got to overcome? It ain't always easy. You got to overcome. But he said, greater is he that is in you, and you are more than a conqueror. But he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But to the fearful, the word fearful there, it means cowardly. But to the cowards who didn't want to live for God, who are too afraid to make a stand for God, who are too afraid to be separate and holy, who are too afraid of what their family was going to say about them, who was too afraid that they might lose their job if they lived for God, to the coward and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, which means sexual immoral, and the sorcerers, those who dabble in witchcraft or play around with witchcraft, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My. I want to preach tonight with your help, and more importantly with God's help. When the preaching stops. When the preaching stops. Brother Lance, would you pray?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, for another opportunity to hear your word in this house tonight, God. Lord, we all need your word tonight, God. Let it minister to everyone in this house, Lord. Lord, we ask you to anoint our pastor to preach your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Heaven is sweet. Hell is hot. And you're going to one or the other. Ready or not. The life on this earth is temporary. Sometimes we forget about it until we're faced with a health issue. Until we're faced with something that's drastic, or maybe even a funeral of someone that we love or care about, and all of a sudden it's like everything comes to a stop and we realize the finality of life and death. And we realize how insignificant our time is on this earth. The Bible references our time here as being like a vapor, here for a moment, but then vanishes away. It's like a ripple when a pebble is dropped in the water. It ripples out and slowly fades away. That's our life on this earth. It's very short in the grand scheme of eternity. An old song used to sing when I was a kid. They sang it in church. Where will you be a million years from now? Really, we don't have to go that far out. Really, we go out 100 years and there will not be one of us that's under the sound of my voice that will still be here. No, very unlikely. Very unlikely that any of us will be here in 100 years. Even the youngest, it's very unlikely statistically they'll live to be 100, if more than that. So we all can sit here and know that in 100 years, each and every one of us will face eternity. We all can rest assured that each and every one of us will have to stand before God and will have to face judgment. The Bible says, for what has been done in our bodies. And that's why the writer wrote, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. And unless you overcome, you will be cast into that lake, into that pit that never ends, the pit of fire. Hell is real. You don't have to believe it for it to be real. You don't have to have faith in order for it to be real. Your lack of, or even your faith of, cannot change what is real. Come on, somebody. Amen. Heaven is hot. Heaven is sweet and hell is hot. Amen. I wonder tonight what would happen if God came back for us tonight. Some may say, well, I don't believe that he's going to come back like that. You don't know. God could come back for all of us tonight. Don't clap your hands with me. Yeah, I'm not ready for you to clap yet. Just stay with me. I know you're trying to help me. But I don't know how much you're going to clap when I'm done. We don't know if a rock hit this building and exploded and all of us are gone tonight while the rest of the world still goes on. We don't know if God doesn't take you out on your way home. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die. My question to you tonight is, what kind of picture? I don't want you thinking about who else. I want you looking in yourself. Where would you be if God came for you tonight? I would like to read Luke chapter 16. I want to help you tonight. Before I read that, as we turn there, this passage I read to you in opening my message tonight was a story that Jesus gave about a man, a lord of a vineyard, the owner of the vineyard, the lord of the vineyard, came to inspect the vineyard. Now the parable, the story, is a reference to the church. The church is his vineyard, and we are his trees that is in the vineyard. We are that fig tree that God planted in a church. Come on. God put you in a church for a reason. God put you in the house of God for a reason. There's a lot of people sit around with that victim mentality. They can't grow because of that church. Or because, you know what? Get out of that church. Because if it's not your church, it'll never be your church. Somebody say amen. This is where God planted me, and this is where I'll bloom. I'm not going to look across another church and say, oh, I could do better over there. I could do better in that city. No, this is where God planted me, and this is where I'm going to bloom. I'm going to do the work God's called me to do here. Amen, amen, amen. Now I realize some of you, even like the Bernards, God transplanted them into this church. And there's a reason I knew when they walked in the door, but they left that day, God spoke to me where the prophet Jeremiah said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. That God put you in a place with a shepherd, with a pastor that'll preach to you without fear or favor. And I pray every day I get this pulpit that I'm not your friend and I'm your pastor. I can be friendly with you, but I, more than anything, I want to make sure you make it to heaven. The Lord of the vineyard came. He walked through the vineyard. He began to inspect it. We find out he does this on a regular basis. God's timing is not our timing. In this passage, it said it was on a yearly basis. I don't know if that yearly is God's timing. The Bible says a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Amen. It could be done on a monthly basis where God walks in. I don't know. But I feel like when I was praying today, God was speaking to my heart that today is inspection day. It just happens every once in a while where God shows up just for inspection. I believe God comes to church many times, and there's often times he's here for healing. There's often times he's here for miracles. There's often times he's here to encourage you, to lift you up in the time of storm. But I believe tonight God is here to inspect some trees. And so he walked through that vineyard and he came to this one particular tree. He said, it bared no fruit. I was looking for fruit in this one. I gave it what it needed. I'm going to tell you something. You can't give excuses to God when God comes along to inspect your life. You can't point at some other tree and say, well, it was their fault. And you can't point at the dresser of the field and say it was his fault. Come on, God's looking at you. Why aren't you bearing fruit? Why aren't you being fruitful? Why aren't you doing things for the kingdom of God? Why are you so wrapped up in your own little life and your own little problems that you can't produce fruit? God didn't call us just to be here for us. God called us to be here for him and to help others find their way to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Preach with me tonight. Somebody say amen. Amen. So he checked that tree. And it bore no fruit. So he turned to the dresser of the field, the one who was in charge of watering, the one that was in charge of weeding, the one that was in charge. He did not fuss at the dresser. So therefore, we understand it wasn't the dresser's fault. He must have done his job, or he would have said, look, you need to weed a little better. You need to clean out the ground a little better. You need to make sure you water a little better, fertilize a little better. No, he didn't fuss at the dresser. He just looked at the dresser and said, you know what? Don't waste any more space with this tree. Why don't we just cut it out? Don't burden the church. Don't burden all the other people in the church with this one because they don't want to change. Don't burden the rest of the congregation with this one because they don't want to live holy. Don't burden the rest of the congregation with this one because they don't want to live right. Cut them down and plant another there. But we find throughout the scripture that God has given to the men of God some unilateral power. Some power to speak throughout. Moses did it. You can find every pastor throughout the scripture. God gives them power to speak to him on behalf of his people. And so the pastor, the dresser said, Lord, give me one more year. Give me one more cycle. Let me weed it. Let me dung it. Dung is fertilizer. It's smelly stuff. It's stinky stuff. Come on. Preaching is not supposed to always feel good. There ought to be times you leave church and it stinks to you. I don't like it. I don't agree with pastor. I think he's old-fashioned. I don't really want to get rid of that in my life. I like the way I look and I like the way I dress. And yes, your flesh, but you need a preacher to challenge you. Come on, let's step in the pulpit and throw a little dung in your life. I know there's people that come to church and they leave and they're mad at me and that stinks, that message stinks and I don't like it, but that's sometimes the only thing between you and eternity. Give me one more year, Lord. Let me weed. Let me dung. And after one more year, if they still bear no fruit, then you cut it down. The pastor ain't going to have to do it. God will do it. There comes a point, and I've seen it happen, and I want to say everybody here that's in this room that there's still hope for you, but I don't know how far that hope will go. As a matter of fact, I don't know if it'll go beyond tonight because I can't cut you down. Only God can. But when God cuts you down, when the preaching stops in your life, you can still come to church, but it'll do nothing for you. I've been there. I've seen it. I've watched them glaze over. They leave church where people are being blessed, where Holy Ghost is being poured out, and they walk out with nothing. I just don't feel like it. That church has changed. It's not the same church. The church hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. Let me tell you what happened. The preaching! I said the preaching has stopped in your life. This is not a new story. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Well, I'd come to church, pastor, but the church is just not the same anymore. I don't feel the same anymore. Oh, this pastor hasn't changed. The Holy Ghost hasn't changed. I'm still preaching the same way I preached. I started preaching almost 24 years ago. I'm still preaching the same. I'm still loving the same. No. What happened is somewhere imperceptibly you would not get right with God. Somewhere imperceptibly you wouldn't let go of things that was making you unfruitful. Somewhere imperceptibly God reached in and said, okay, pastor, you worked with them longer than I even wanted to work with them. And God brings his holy axe and he cuts you out of the church. You saying there's no hope for that individual? I don't know. Because there's the only thing that you can be unhopeful of is blasphemy. But there comes a time where God says his spirit will not strive with man. He will not wrestle with the person. He will let them have what they want. You hear me? They want carnality. They want immorality. They want sexual sins. They want fornication. Come on. Well, they don't want to do that. What are they watching? What are they reading? What are they entertaining themselves by? They want witchcraft and sorcery in their life. Oh, that's not a big deal. It's just a movie. You better be careful what you desensitize your mind with. Let me tell you something. Hollywood doesn't have your best interests at heart. I said Hollywood doesn't have your best interests at heart. Hey, man, when I was in my home at the house, getting ready for church, I just opened up Fox News and my phone popped up. And one of the things popped up was the new Disney movie coming out with their first LGBTQ character. And you just think it's all well and good to give your kids a tablet and not have supervision. Shame on you. Come on, Holy Ghost. It was just Disney. You think Disney is helping their walk with God? It's not in my notes, but I'm just telling you, it's time for us to wake up as a church and say, you know what? The inspector is coming by. I want to make sure my house is being fruitful. I want to make sure my children are being fruitful. I want to make sure I am being fruitful. Amen. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. I believe the inspector's in the house tonight. He's waiting. He's waiting in the wings because he gave the men of God a word for someone tonight. But I believe sometime during this message, I can't control God. When God's ready to move, he's going to move. And when he moves, he's going to start moving through the aisles of this church and up and down the rows of this church. He's going to be looking at your life and except you repent, you shall perish. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, I'm telling you, hell is real. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at the gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth. Everybody say, he seeth. He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We've read that he sees and that he is thirsty. Somebody say amen. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. The Bible says, what does a man gain if he gains the whole world but lose his soul? Come on, I said, what do you gain if you work all your life and you miss church all the time because you're too busy paying bills and you miss praying because you're too busy working and you're too busy having. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. And beside all this, verse 26, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then verse 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He said, okay, if there's no hope for me, and there's no hope, I'm lost, and I'm burning in hell, and I'm thirsty, and I can see across this great divide, and I'm tormented. If there's no hope for me, then Father, send somebody to my brothers. Send somebody to my family. It's too late to do a crusade for your family when you're already in hell. It's too late to save your children when you're already in hell. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said, amen. Abraham said to him, they have Moses, verse 29, and the prophets. Let them hear them. What's that mean? Prophets and Moses are representation of the apostolic church. And a built upon the prophets and the New Testament apostles. Moses was representation of the apostles. Moses is representation of a pastor in your life. Amen. And this is the apostolic church. What was Abraham saying? They got the church. And they got a preacher. And they got a pastor. If they won't hear their pastor, even if one come from the dead, they wouldn't hear him. Amen. Amen. God's not going to send somebody from the dead. God's not going to send somebody from your past to wake you up. God give you a preacher to preach into your life, to weed your garden, to dung your tree. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want to preach just for a little bit tonight what hell's going to be like. Amen. I don't want to go to hell. Amen. I said, I don't want to go to hell, but hell is real. I said, hell is real. The Bible says that hell will be seven times hotter than anything on this earth. We know the hottest thing on the surface is lava. Lava is so hot, if you put your finger in it, it would melt it right off. You're talking intense heat, and it's seven times hotter. Hell, in his existence, is in the pit, in the middle of this earth. The Bible says on many occasions that they descended down into hell. They descended down into hell. We know that where hell is now is in the center of this earth. It's the place of torment that was created for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for us. As a matter of fact, Isaiah says that hell has to enlarge itself every day. Every day, hell has to enlarge itself because hell wasn't made for you and me. Hell was not made for mankind, but mankind chooses to go to hell. Somebody asked me one time, what kind of loving God would send people to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send your own self to hell. God made a way for you to escape hell. God gave you a way out, but he gives you the power to choose. He gives you the power which way you're going to go. Amen, 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 amen. Hell, I want to talk about the five senses of hell. You're going to be able to smell in hell. You're not going to lose your senses when you get to hell. As a matter of fact, I believe your senses will be heightened because you will also receive a new body that will not die but will face torment. Just hear me tonight. Your lack of faith doesn't change the truth. I feel like I'm coming against somebody who don't believe it. This is why you need to hear preaching about hell, because young people, you're going to have to face it if you don't live for God. Young lady, if you don't repent, you're going to have to face it. Young man, if you don't repent, you're going to have to face it. Well, church is just a fad. Some people like it. You can think it like that. That's how the world would like to think, that church is just a lifestyle that some people choose. No, church is the escape plan. Church is the salvation plan. Church, I'm not of this world. Church is the only hope. Living for God is my only hope. That's why it bothers me when I see people come to church and they're not bothered and they're not moved and it seems like they're just waiting for the right opportunity to leave. Come on. It bothers me when people are often late, or most of the time late, to show up for church and they're one of the first ones to leave. Don't you realize that this is the place where you find salvation? Smell. Scientists have proven that smelling, your sense of smell, is the number one trigger of memories. Above anything else, you can see things and it won't trigger memories. You can hear things and it won't trigger memories like smell will. Come on. I've walked into places and smelled something. It takes me back 30 years ago to my grandma's basement. Mothballs. Yeah? Walked to an old church and it smelled like my grandma's basement. And all of a sudden, a flood of memories come back to me of the games my brother and I used to play and hide and seek we'd play and things of that nature. Smell. I walked to the Pearsons' camper one day. They had us over for dinner. Vaughn Pearson's wife, pastor in Wisconsin. And I walked in and they were burning a candle. I didn't see the candle, but it smelled like a freshly baked apple pie. Whew. You talk about bringing some memories. It made my mouth salivate. And all it was a smell. You're going to smell in hell. Not only are you going to smell burning flesh, sulfur, brimstone. But I believe that God in the torment, or really the devil, in the torment that he has planned for your life, that he has collected scents from your life. See, I wasn't just too long ago, I was at a conference. One of those elderly apostolic ladies walked by. And I tell you something about apostolic women, apostolic ladies. Even when they're 70 and 80 years old, there's a beauty about them. It's not a fake. It's not a phony. It's not a 70-year-old trying to be a 16-year-old. There's a beauty about those ladies that's real. It's intangible. It's just, but I walked by me and the perfume. Wait a minute. That was Sister Gilmore. She died in 2012, but immediately, Brother Jack, my memory goes back to a 2-year-old sitting on the second row. And I immediately, when I smelt that perfume, it's like I could almost hear. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Because that's what you hear every service. Sister Gilmore, on the left-hand side, about halfway back, she'd be praying the whole service. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Praying for her husband every service. And I could hear it just because I smelled it. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a torment in hell because you're going to have smells that come to you. And you're going to remember. You're going to remember. You're going to remember a pastor praying for you. You're going to remember a pastor's wife praying for you. You remember that youth leader that tried to talk to you. All those things are going to be flooding back. All the memories of every message, every preached, it'll come flooding back because you'll smell it in hell. The devil will bring it back to you and you'll smell it. And the memories, I believe some of the greatest torment's not going to be the flame. Some of the greatest torment's not going to be the heat. Some of the greatest torment is going to be the memories. Memories of church services just like this one tonight where pastor's preaching his guts out, yelling and preaching, and you're like, why is he yelling? Because God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. It's the preaching to pull you out of hell and you sit there unmoved, unchanged, and the devil's going to bring it back to your memory. Why would the devil do that? He got me now because he hates you and he wants to mock you. He wants to laugh at you. You were a preacher's kid and I got you. You had talent and I got you. Your daddy was a pastor. Your mama was a Sunday school teacher. Your daddy was a children's minister. Your daddy was assistant pastor and I got you. That's what he is. He's a wicked. He's evil. He's the very definition of evil and wicked. Oh, the devil doesn't love you. No, the devil, there's not going to be a party in hell. No, you're not going to be able to drink with your buddies in hell. What about taste? Oh, yeah. There's going to be taste. Desires. You're going to be thirsty in hell. Amen. The Bible teaches us what you have a taste for here is what you're going to have a taste for over there. Whatsoever thou bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou loosed in earth shall be loosed in heaven. This taste, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they shall be filled. Let me give you an understanding of what that passage is talking about. For us that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for us that enjoy the things of God, for us that enjoy good gospel music, for us that enjoy, we get hungry for a Sunday night service of conviction. We hunger for that time that we get lost in the Holy Ghost, that we get to pray in tongues. And for those, you'll be filled for all eternity. When you get to heaven, you'll have all the singing you could ever have. have. You'll be in the presence of the Most High God forever. Somebody shout hallelujah. Said somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. But let me preach to the sinner tonight, because your taste that you refuse to overcome here, it will not leave you over there. You will still be hungered for that pill, but there'll be no pharmacy over there. You'll still hunger for that cigarette, but there'll be no cigarettes in hell. You still want that alcohol to help you sleep, but there'll be no alcohol in hell. I come to tell you, there'll be no you'll get your satisfaction here, but there'll be a day where you'll be thirsty. But there'll be nothing to quench that thirst. Somebody say amen. Amen. You hunger for the things of this world, and I promise you, you'll be hungry for eternity. But now, you'll have to live with detox for eternity, because it'll never get good. It'll never get better. For those that hunger after immorality, beauty. I'm going to tell you, beauty's a drug. I said beauty is a drug. It's not just a drug for women either. It's a drug for men and women. I've seen men in the gym that are addicted to beauty. And they're spending thousands of dollars trying to find what they're addicted to. Building their bodies up. Worshiping their beauty. And let me tell you something. It's just like every other drug. It's never enough. You know, it's never enough. They reach their peak of what their body can do, and they're not satisfied. So they start shooting up steroids. I'm talking about men. And they start shooting up more and more because they're addicted to vanity. And I'm telling you right now, and I'll preach to the ladies a little bit too, and maybe both, it'll never be enough. You want to dial yourself up to be sexy, and you'll never fit the picture, because that drug of beauty, what the devil tries to say is beautiful, it's not beautiful, it's vanity. Come on. You can have every surgery to augment yourself, add to yourself, change your hair color, diet, get new body parts, and you get more and more and more makeup and this and that and this and that, and it's never enough. And you still wake up, you're getting older and older every day, and you still get more wrinkles because age happens to us all, and you feel you're not pretty. Oh, God. And you see it. Come on, you see the end results. I see those pictures of women. I saw one the other day, a picture popped up, said she's 74 years old. Her face had so many surgeries that she had no expression. It was so messed up. And she still wasn't satisfied. A drug of beauty. I'm going to tell you something. In hell, there'll still be mirrors to mock your flesh as it boils, as it burns, as you look at it, and it's never enough, and you're not satisfied. Oh, trying to look pretty. It'll never be enough, and you'll never find what you're looking for. Except ye repent. What about your feelings, your touch? What's it going to feel like in hell? The Bible says that they would be gnashing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. That the pain would be so intense that you'll grind your teeth. Not just grind, it says gnashing, defined, breaking and crushing. The teeth is the most strongest part of the body, and there'll be so much pain, you'll literally crush your teeth in your mouth. And the pain and the soreness and the heat intensity. You say, this is too gruesome. I believe our kids need to hear about hell. There's a reason we come to church. There's a reason we pray. There's a reason we dress the way we do. There's a reason we worship the way we do. Because we're repented. We're children of the Most High God. The reason we don't look like this world is because we come out from the world and we're separate. I'm a stranger in this world. I wasn't made for this world. I was made for another world. Oh, I feel a pushback. You know what I feel? I feel a pushback of the flesh. But I come to tell somebody, God's coming by your pew tonight. God's coming by your seat tonight. He's going to be looking up and down. You want to be inspecting yourself? Somebody's already said, well, Pastor, there's no hope. I know I'm a failure. Well, that's your own fault. And before God walks by your pew, if I were you, I'd be repenting right now. What's repentance? That's changing my mindset. I'm not going to leave this service the same way I came in. I'm not going to put conditions on my walk with God. You think you can negotiate with God? What? You think you're going to tell the Lord of the vineyard, well, I'll bear fruit if you do this for me? He's cutting you down. Well, Lord, if you'll fix my marriage, Lord, if you'll fix my money, Lord, if you'll fix my job, Lord, if you'll fix my home, Lord, if you'll say get my kids straightened out, then I'll bear fruit for you. You think you're going to tell God? He'll cut you down. I thought he's a loving God. He's a loving God, but he's a fair God. He's not going to ask of you or me or something else different. His word is forever settled. Come on, Holy Ghost. I said his word is forever settled. You either live for him or you don't live for him. You're either living for the flesh or you're living for God. Come on. And there's people in this room, you're more concerned about what you want instead of about what God wants. When's the last time you prayed and said, God, what do you want from my life instead of what you want from God? And you have no fruit, and your tree is empty. You haven't won a soul. You haven't invited nobody to church. You don't bear love, joy, and righteousness, and long-suffering, and peace in your life. You think the church has changed. Oh, no. Oh, no. The church didn't leave you. You left the church. The church didn't change. You changed. The day it became that church instead of my church. Come on, Holy Ghost. Maybe you've heard it. I know I've heard people do that. I grew up around people like that. My dad was a pastor. I watched him. I've been in this my whole life. I've seen him come. I've seen him go. This same song, the same tune. It's called the tune of sin. That's the tune of infruitfulness and unfruitfulness. Flesh will begin to melt. You'll sit there and watch it. Is it? I've seen burn victims. A buddy of mine caught in a fire. He said he watched his skin literally just begin to fall off his body. He said it was almost surreal, like it wasn't. He just watched it. And when he got up and began to walk away, his feet prints stayed. It wasn't footprints. It was the soles of his feet stayed where it burnt him. He was walking on the meat and the bones. I'm not trying to be gruesome. I'm trying to be real with someone tonight. Hell is real, and you will feel that, and that's what you'll go through, and your skin will melt off, and the heat will be so intense. They said in the intense heats of that nature, your eyes will begin to swell in dehydration, and literally with the desire for water, they will pop out of their sockets. And then all of a sudden, in that free fall, it'll all come back together. Your teeth will free form. Your skin will get back on your body. Your eyes will go back in. Your hair will come back that was singed off with a stinking smell of burning hair. And all of a sudden, it starts over again, the torments. Maybe this time he'll give you another smell to start this round of torment. Maybe this time he'll have you smell your Sunday school teacher. Maybe this time he'll take you back to a youth camp service or to a youth rally or to a service where you visited Brother Goder's church or Pastor Erskine's church or to a peak or to a summit. And he'll take you back there and he'll start the cycle all over again. He'll take you back through it and you'll have to fall and it'll all happen again. The torment, the flesh, the eyes, and the hair. The gnashing of the teeth. What about hearing? It says weeping and gnashed teeth. Not only will you hear your own, you'll hear the gnashing of others' teeth. The screaming. The torment. I believe that you'll have a sound mind in hell. Matter of fact, it'll probably be more sound than it is here. Because true torment, there'll be no getting away from it. There'll be no losing yourself in the bottle. There'll be no running. No, 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 no. You'll have a clear mind. Every memory will be clear. Every opportunity will be clear. You know what you'll hear? The ghost of this very message. Maybe that's how he'll start to torment that day. You'll hear my voice preaching this message. Except you repent. But this time, it'll be too late. It'll be too late to tell that girl, you're going a different direction than I'm going. Oh, I had to do that. I had to tell a girl that went to our church. I was 17 years old. And I said, Heather, I'm sorry. You're going a different direction than I'm going. I'm sorry. Was it easy? No. But I knew the Bible says every knee will bow. And I was either going to bow down to God's will now, or I was going to bow down to it at judgment. I didn't want the devil to have any years of my life. I wanted to save him for God. It'll be too late, young man, to get rid of that website on your phone. It'll be too late to give up those games you ought not be playing. You'll hear this message, but then it'll be too late. It'll be too late to turn off those movies you know you shouldn't be watching. It's just entertainment. You better be careful. The devil is the master of entertainment. That was his job, to entertain God. And do you not think the one that was created to entertain the God of all the universe doesn't know how to entertain you? He knows what makes you tick. He knows your buttons. It's not just Facebook and all those that are keeping tabs on you. It's the devil keeping tabs on you. He doesn't care if you come to church just as long as you don't repent. You know, I think the worst, one of my greatest fears, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to backslide, and because it doesn't just affect me. It affects so many. Pastors fall all the time. 7,000 churches in America close every month. 1,200 pastors quit pastoring every week in America. Many of them because of adultery and sin. Many of them because they're just burnt out. I come to tell you, I want to fight the good fight of faith. Because I don't want to hear, as I fall in the pit of hell, the screams of familiar voices. Why, Daddy? Why, Dad? Why'd you treat church like a hobby? Why didn't you pray with me, Dad? Mom! You were too busy to read me a Bible story. Mom, I heard you talk about pastor like that. Why? He was my only hope. And you would cut him up in the car. Why? There's going to be young people under the sound of my voice that you're going to hear a ghost of your future child that you never had because you married the wrong one. You're going to hear the ghost of your future ministry and the souls that you were to impact, but you never did because you sold out. Oh, that's right. The Bible says there are men in the Bible that sold themselves to sin. Sold themselves. And there are some here that you're selling yourself out. You're selling your walk with God short. You're talking yourself right out of doing things for God. And you're going to hear, oh yeah. You'll hear. There'll be voices that you don't recognize. You were supposed to knock on my door. You were supposed to be my pastor's wife. You were supposed to be my Sunday school teacher. You were supposed to be. But you never. You sold out at 17. You sold out at 19. And you never fulfilled your calling. And that church never got built. And that youth ministry never happened. And that missionary work never happened. And I lived in a village that never heard. And nobody ever came and knocked on my door. And it was supposed to be you. The voices. You were so busy, wrapped up in your own problems. And I was supposed to be the fruit on your tree. Oh, the sounds of hell. The sounds of hell. The sight of hell. You'll be able to see. The Bible says that you could see across the divide. You will not only be able to see across the divide and see heaven afar off, you'll be able to hear the choir singing. The worshiping, the joy. Oh, that's the torment. You'll be able to see. Said he was in hell and he could see across Abraham's bosom, heaven. Somebody please. But you can't get there and they can't get to you. It's over. It's too late then. But you can see it. You'll see the flashes of faces. The flashes of memories. Oh God. You'll see it. And Mark 9:43 says, and the fire will never go out. I'm almost done. God doesn't take pleasure in anybody being lost. Matter of fact, Ezekiel 33:11 says, say unto them this, men of God, as I live, saith the Lord, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Why sit in the church and die? Why be lost? Dinah, don't come. I don't want anybody else up here. Thank you. Why have you lost? If you don't repent and you're not baptized in his name and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to make it. That's the word. Without, if you're not living for God, the only thing you can control is repentance and baptism and follow after God. He'll give you the Holy Ghost. But if you don't keep seeking him, you're not going to make it. If you don't live separate and holy lives, he's coming out of church that's made itself ready. And there's things that will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will be cast into the lake of fire. I feel such a heaviness on me tonight. For some reason, God's just holding me here for a moment. I wonder if you could just search yourself. What this church needs is a good dose of repentance. What this church needs is for people to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. I want to know you. I want to feel you. Several years ago, and I'm closing with this story, during the space race between the nations of Russia, Soviet Union, excuse me, and the United States and China, the race to space, the Cold War, if you would, there was also a much less publicized race, and it was a race to the center of the earth. And so America was doing it. We were drilling. Russia was drilling. Soviet Union was drilling in Siberia, endeavoring to drill who could get the deepest to find what was at the center of the earth. And so they drilled, and Russia was able to get 40,230 feet before the heat and the intensity was so much that the bits would melt before they could go any further. As soon as they would go down, the bits would begin to melt. They couldn't dig any further. And so the Siberian scientists, and you can even, I've looked it up, some people say it's been debunked, but there's many, many that say this is real proving they have scientific evidence that this happened. That they lowered as far as they could heat-protected recording devices to hear the sounds of the crust and the movement. They lowered things to try to get, they couldn't see anything, it was just, the intensity of darkness is too deep. But in their drilling, they had come into a cavity. And in that cavity, it wasn't hitting rock. It was actually melting in the cavity before they could hit any more rock. And they recorded this sound that I'm going to play for you here in a moment. I've had them looked up, emailed to me. They recorded this sound. And In the research I've done and looked at it, there's even, they said they picked out different languages in the sound. There was even one that was sounded like, Copa estoy aquí, Copa estoy aquí. And it was Spanish. There's other sounds they picked out, but the one in Spanish said, I'm here. Guilty. Guilty. I'm here. Nobody's fault but mine. I could have made it. I could have been saved. But I'm here. I'm guilty. Oh, God. This is what they heard. If hell could speak tonight, what would it say? Every one of us got somebody we know that's in hell. Not just a rich man. They don't get to rest in peace. No. Pastor, I don't know if I can live in heaven. Remember, the beautiful thing about heaven, there's only 30 minutes of silence. And then he wipes all your tears from your eyes. You know, I believe in heaven, he'll take away the memory of those who didn't make it. There's no way you could be happy and know that. I think for 30 minutes, we get to stand there in silence and remember. And the Bible says he wipes the tears from our eyes. He's already started. He's walking by right now. Except you repent, you too shall perish. And your life will mean nothing in eternity. It's just a vapor. Come on. Where will you be? Where will you be?